in the limelight. The G7 summit, which ended on Sunday, 13th of June in Cornwall, England, achieved much less than campaigners had hoped, with no significant new cash forthcoming for the world's poorest countries and most vulnerable countries on the front lines of climate breakdown. We now present you an article written by The Guardian newspaper's environment correspondent Fiona Harvey. The piece is titled Rich Countries Urged to Come Up with Detailed Plans to Cut Emissions. One of the architects of the Paris Climate Accord has said rich countries must come forward with detailed plans on how they hope to meet their climate targets. And Britain's Prime Minister Boris Johnson must forge much closer relationships with developing countries to bring about the breakthrough needed on the climate crisis this year. The G7 summit, which ended on Sunday, 13th of June in Cornwall, England, achieved much less than campaigners had hoped, with no significant new cash forthcoming for the world's poorest and most vulnerable countries on the front lines of climate breakdown. There were promises by the world's richest economies to halt funding for coal, but they fell short of the pledge to end all new fossil fuel development that experts have said will be needed. The United Kingdom now has just 20 weeks to forge a global consensus on the climate crisis before the United Nations climate talks, called COP26, to be held in Glasgow, Scotland this November. COP26 will be the most important climate meeting since the Paris Climate Accord was signed in 2015, and one of the last chances to put the world on track to meet its goal of limiting temperature rises to just 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. Lawrence Tubiana, the chief executive of the European Climate Foundation, who was the top French diplomat in charge of the 2015 Paris Climate Accord, said the key was for rich countries to build trust among other countries by drawing up detailed plans on how to meet their own targets on greenhouse gas emissions and come up with improved offers of finance for the most vulnerable countries. She told The Guardian, COP26 will be the moment of truth. Countries have to display their precise plans and accountability mechanisms to ensure that greenhouse gas emissions cuts take place. There is a lot of work to do to deliver this. We are at the end of the era of coal, oil and gas burning, and that shift has to start in earnest. Lawrence Tubiana added, leaders will need to use the next 4 months before they meet again at the COP26 summit in Glasgow, Scotland, to crack on with fleshing out the details of this global Marshall Plan for green recovery and getting everyone everywhere vaccinated. And crucially, that means putting up the investment to make all of this possible. G7 meeting left Boris Johnson looking exposed on the world stage to some observers. Pledges by the G7 club of the richest countries, the United Kingdom, United States, Japan, Canada, Germany, France, Italy, and the European Union, on vaccines were disappointing to many. And the summit was overshadowed by tensions over Brexit and the Northern Ireland Protocol. The UK row about overseas aid spending, which Boris Johnson is cutting from 0.7% of gross domestic product to 0.5% with a loss of £4 billion to the developing world, also put him in a poor position to browbeat his fellow leaders into stumping up more cash for climate finance. Poor nations were promised $100 billion a year from the rich world to help them cut greenhouse gas emissions and cope with the impact of climate breakdown. But that long-standing pledge has fallen short by about $20 billion. Mohamed Addo, the director of the Power Shift Africa think tank, said, "It's clear the G7 was a huge disappointment and it had undermined Boris Johnson's credibility. It's hard not to think that the host of COP26 cutting their aid budget is going to undermine efforts to raise climate finance from other countries. Overpromising and underdelivering is a bad look for the man overseeing the biggest climate talks since the Paris Climate Agreement." Salim Ul-Haq, the director of the International Center for Climate Change and Development in Bangladesh, said, "The United Kingdom, having reneged on their own parliamentary act on overseas aid, made the situation of Boris Johnson as chair of the G7 non-credible for the other leaders. All of this does not bode well for the COP26 summit in Glasgow." Laurence Tobiana, the chief executive of the European Climate Foundation, said Boris Johnson must do much more to reassure the developing world. At COP26 in Glasgow, every one of the 196 signatory countries to the Paris Climate Accord has, in theory at least, an equal say. And a deal can only be forged by consensus, so developing countries can make or break any compromise. She said, "You have to deliver a signal to developing countries that they are taken seriously. Overseas aid is not just about aid, it is about political outreach, and it shows developing countries that they have a seat at the table, alongside the United States and China and so on." British Prime Minister Boris Johnson can take comfort from the fact that the road to the Paris Climate Agreement was far from smooth. Laurence Tubiana recalls that a key meeting of the leaders of the G20 nations, the G7 and 13 other smaller economies, including China, India, Russia, Brazil, Australia, Saudi Arabia, South Africa and Turkey, just weeks before the climatic summit in Paris in December of 2015, went pretty badly. She said, "6 months before the Paris Climate Accord, it was super pessimistic. People thought there would not be an ambitious agreement." She added, "And the G20, just before Paris, was a disaster. After the G20, anyone would have said it is not worth even going to Paris. Yet, with the so-called painstaking diplomacy, the French repaired the tensions and managed to achieve a global consensus in the final weeks. The previous 2 years had been spent carefully listening to developing countries' concerns and building reserves of trust that meant the French were seen supposedly as honest brokers for a fair deal. Given the outcome of the G7, Boris Johnson must hope he has as much credit to draw upon."